Our readings today are from Luke and John. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, it's been an interesting morning. Right before the first service, my glasses broke, and someone tried to fix those and finally brought them out to me and put a safety pin in them to hold them together. And then in the last service, we had two baptisms. I got over to the baptism font with child in my hand and realized we don't have any water in the baptism font. Then in the middle of the message, we had a fire alarm in the last service. I remember the story of Jonah when the ship went into a storm. Everybody on the ship knew God must be upset with somebody, so they threw Jonah overboard. The storm calmed down. At 9:30, we just threw everybody out in the rain, and things seem to have calmed down around here. And hopefully, we'll get through the rest of the service without any interruption. Although, I will say, I heard that Kent had this happen one time and got to finish the sermon on the back of a pickup truck. I will be okay if I don't get to relive that and have that experience again. But for those who were here at the last service, we're glad that you've stuck around for 11 o'clock today. As we heard coming in and we began the service, lighting the first candle on the Advent wreath, that this is the first season of the year in the Christian calendar. Advent begins the year, which is very appropriate because the word Advent literally means to come to. What we're doing in Advent is we're coming again to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. So the mood for Advent, and a great way to start the year, is getting ready, spiritual preparation, anticipation for the coming of Christ. What we're going to do here at St. Luke's for the next 4 weeks in this four Sunday season leading up to Christmas is to talk about spiritual preparation by focusing on a very important sentence in the Christmas story. We heard it read a moment ago. We will hear it read each Sunday in Advent. Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, and the time came for her to give birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. A very telling statement, a sentence with multiple layers of meaning, and we're going to look at different layers each week. So we start today. When I was in a church in England many years ago, the youth group in the church did a skit one Sunday. One of the girls came out like a photographer, set up a camera in front of the stable, and then called for Mary and Joseph to bring the baby for a family portrait. So the Holy Family is gathered around. She's getting ready to take the picture and says, "Whoa, wait a minute. This is a stable. Where are the animals? There have to be animals." So some of the youth dressed up like cows and sheep lumbered into the scene, and they got around Mary and Joseph in the stable. She gets ready to take the picture. "Wait, where are the shepherds? There have to be shepherds. Get the shepherds." Shepherds come in. Gets ready to take, "Wait, where's the innkeeper? We got to have the innkeeper." So the innkeeper and his wife get into the picture, and on this goes, adding wise men, adding angels. And what the congregation can't notice at first is with each addition, the stable gets moved a little further away. Until finally the photographer says, "Now it's perfect. Click." And all of the characters hold pose while the photographer turns around with the manger completely out of the picture and says to the congregation, "Don't let Jesus get crowded out of your picture this Christmas." Just a simple, funny little skit that has stuck with me, reminding me of a truth that is so easy to let happen at Christmas time of all times. For Jesus to get crowded out. It seems that it's always been that way, ever since the first Christmas. Jesus was born in a stable. Why? Because it was crowded. There was no room in the inn. It's a foreshadowing kind of statement. We will see over and over in the life of Jesus people who don't always have room for him. Perhaps the most difficult to understand is a line from the Gospel of John. You heard it read a moment ago. Jesus one time went back, it says, to his own people, and his own people would not receive him. Why? How could that happen? It's one thing for a total stranger like the innkeeper not to receive Jesus. It's one thing for people who don't even realize that Jesus is close to them, like the guest in the inn, not to receive him. But his own people? The people who know him? The people who believe in him? How could they not receive him? Perhaps the greatest challenge to faith is not necessarily some tragedy, some catastrophic event. Perhaps the greatest challenge is not when we feel attacked by some enemy of faith. Perhaps the greatest challenge of faith, that which has the most possibility for pulling us away from Christ, is something much less obvious, something very simple. Simply not having room. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would say that you live your life day to day with oodles of spare time? No one? Oh, we got one in the back. All right. One or two oodles of spirit. You go from day to day thinking, what am I going to do with all my free time? I mean, it's really kind of an interesting question when you think about the gadgets that have been invented in our world in the last couple of decades intended to save us time. We have cell phones. Now, you don't have to stay by the phone to have a conversation. The phone stays by you. You can talk to people and go about your business. Some of you have phones. I left it over here. Like mine. You not only can talk on the phone, you can text message. You can check your calendar while you read the paper, drink your coffee, and do your makeup at the same time driving your car. You can do it all. Great country, isn't it? It saves us time. We've got washing machines and dishwashers that now have what? A speed cycle. Isn't that great? I mean, who cares if you still have hard food collected on your plate? You didn't have to take time washing it, right? The time's worth something. Our number one advertising slogan today is this: quick and easy. Number one advertising slogan: quick and easy. We want to save time and not have to work hard. Shirts are now made what? Wrinkle free. You don't have to iron them anymore. Just take it right out of the dryer, put it on. We've got tons of spare time, right? Here is the latest invention to save us time. It's called the kitchen top scanner. See this device? You put it on your countertop at home, and when you run out of cereal, when you run out of a can of vegetables, you just take the box or the can under the scanner, and it adds it to your shopping list. Now get this. When you are ready for your shopping to be done, you hit send on your scanner, and it sends the list to your favorite grocery store, and what happens in an hour? They bring your groceries to you. Some of you are writing that down right now for your shopping list. You're handing it to the person next to you. I want that for Christmas. You would think we are people who live with tons of spare time. Why do we not have it? A business friend of mine has an expression he uses with his managers. He says, "Nature abhors a vacuum." Nature abhors a vacuum. In all of nature, where there is a void, where there is an emptiness, something is going to fill it if we aren't intentional about what fills it. In the spiritual life, good intentions are not enough. In the spiritual life, we have to have more than good intentions, otherwise the spaces will just get consumed, and then we don't have space for what is most important to us. Advent is a season. It comes every year. We talk about starting the year, really, instead of ending the year with Advent, to think about beginning with intentionality about making room in our lives for Christ to come and enter in. What does that look like? What does it look like to make space for Christ? Let me offer two things. One's kind of an inward focus, the other is an outward focus. The inward focus is this. I invite you, during this season of Advent, for the next 4 weeks, to spend time every day to be alone with God. Now, if you already have that practice in your life, keep it going. If you're somewhat sporadic in that practice, or if you don't have it at all, try it as an experiment for the month of December. Spend time every day, just 15, 20 minutes at least, to be alone with God. The Spiritual Life Center is providing around the building daily devotions that look like this. They are titled The True Gifts of Christmas. Has a scripture reading, a devotional thought, and a simple prayer. You can pick this up to use. Now, because we don't have enough for everyone, if you don't get one of these, then in the next day or so on our website, we're going to have Advent scripture readings available. Beginning December the 1st, a scripture verse every day through Christmas Day. And I simply invite you to take time where you will read your scripture verse for the day and then ask this question: God, what do you want to say to me through these words? What do you want to say to me through these words? Spend some time meditating on that. And then end your time with another question: God, who is someone I can bless today? Who is someone I can bless? Now, I believe if you do that for 25 days, you will find something very significant spiritually happening in your life. One other thing that you can try, a week from Saturday, December the 10th, I invite you to come to the Advent Retreat. It'll be for 3 hours, 9 a.m. to noon, in the Spiritual Life Center. A chance to take 3 hours away from all of the activity of this season and just spend for yourself, for your own quiet time, reflection, prayers, the Advent Retreat. So personal inward focus, making room. An outward focus. In your worship guide today, you received the little pamphlet entitled, Whose Birthday Is It? This is simply a guide to give to some outreach opportunities. 7 are listed here, and we simply invite you to look at these in ways that outwardly you can make room for Christ in the middle of all of the priorities of this season. And when you think about the fact that Christmas is about the birthday of a Savior who came for others, when a lot of our spending and the focus of our activity many times is on ourselves, our friends, our families, there's a little disconnect there. Something that puts that in perspective is a little video that we have about whose birthday is it. Let's take a look. Thank you. It's just a simple way to think about making room for Christ in our outward focus. If you have children at home, you might try this as kind of a family way of experiencing this. Give an allotment of money to each child, and then one day sit around a table as a family and look at all of the priorities in the giving guide. And let children choose how they want to spend that gift, just as a way of instilling this idea that Christmas is about someone else's birthday. It's a great time to think about ways we can be of blessing to people we don't even know. Inward, outward, making room. You see, Christmas is not just about the birth of a Savior that happened a long time ago in a place far from here. Christmas is about this message that Christ waits to encounter us all the time, every day. In any experience, Christ awaits us, ready to greet us, ready to meet us. Advent comes as a way of saying, how can we be conscious of that? Prepare ourselves, make room in our lives so we can be ready to meet that Christ who is always ready to meet us. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we prepare to receive again the gift of yourself through loaf and cup, we thank you for being a God who desires constantly to reach out to us, to invade our world, to be a part of our lives. As we begin this season, may we be mindful of those practices we can carry out that open us to your presence, that make room for you, and be available and ready to meet you at every turn. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We begin this Advent season receiving the gift of Holy Communion, the symbol of Christ offering himself to us. So we gather today remembering the night Jesus was betrayed and how in the company of his disciples, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to them and said, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Likewise, he took the cup, he lifted to heaven and he gave thanks, and he said to his friends, the disciples, this is my blood poured out for you. Every time you drink this, do this in remembrance of me.
In the United Methodist Church, we practice open table, which means all are welcome to receive the gift of Christ offering to us. If you desire to make room in your life and to have that closer relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, you're invited to share and participate in this meal with us. In just a moment, the ushers will come and first pass the baskets of bread. We ask you to take a piece of the bread and then just hold it as we sing a hymn. And then when the hymn finishes, I will lead us in a prayer and we will partake of the body of Christ together. As we prepare to receive, let's join together in the prayer for the sacrament of Holy Communion. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercy. We thank you for your presence in this meal and for offering us your unconditional acceptance and love. We surrender ourselves and our concerns into your loving hands. In Christ's name, amen. Let the ushers come. The bread symbolizes the body of Christ, and that means God does not love us in the abstract. God loves us in flesh. God loves us close up, in tangible ways. May we be open to all of the ways God wants to continue to meet us in the ordinary, but also let us be living expressions of God's love, making that love real to other people. Let's together partake of the body of Christ. Amen. Now let's continue as we share together in the cup of Christ. The cup represents the blood of Christ, symbolizing Christ as a source of life, a source of spiritual life and strength. As we make room for that life, may we also become sources of spiritual strength and hope to others God will bring into our path and whose company we will meet this Advent season. So together as God's people, let's partake of the cup of Christ. We thank you, O God, for feeding us in this sacrament, for giving us hope, for loving us as we are, but loving us into your likeness at the same time. Bless us as we go our way today. Remind us that we go not alone. Direct our paths in this season. Help us to be open to you and to do our best to make room for you, inwardly, outwardly, in every way we can both receive love and give it as your beloved children. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now let us stand for our benediction. Following the benediction, if you desire prayer, I've been privileged to share the leadership of our service today with Reverend Chris Thornsberry, a member of our staff. Chris is going to be over here in front of the baptismal font area where, if you'd like time for prayer, he'll be glad to meet you there. As we go forth, let's go now in the love of God that surrounds us in this place and is ready to direct us forward. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.